We're still in our book talking about presenting the Holy Spirit to you. And now we have been speaking on chapter 5 and chapter 6. The seven offices of the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit being our divine administrator on earth. God said in his word, Jesus said in the word that it was his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But he did not give you the kingdom without an administrator. Without someone. He knew he could not trust us with the kingdom alone. But he has given us an administrator on earth to help us with what he has given us as heirs, and he has given us so much. And the Holy Spirit is here on earth to make sure we receive it all. And I'm telling y'all, I want all of mine. So that's the reason I'm learning more and more about the Holy Spirit, and allow him to do his work in me and through me. Because the Holy Spirit has come for this age to do a work. And as we talk about these seven offices of the Holy Spirit, the things that he does, I'm going to name all seven to you. The Spirit of life, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of supplication, and the Spirit of glory. In the fifth chapter, we only talked about four of the seven spirits. Simply because we did that because the first four help us to see how the Holy Spirit works in us to bring us to be more like Christ. The last three, which is in chapter 6, we're going to talk about the governing aspect of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. How it governs our lives as a believer. Now, what I want to do this morning, I thought we were going to go to the 6th chapter, but we're unable to go that because we got to revisit something that I did not complete. And we're going back to revisit the Spirit of adoption. I did not complete that. That Spirit of adoption, that's in the first four. And that Spirit of adoption, it helped bring us to look more like Christ, to reveal the Christ in us. Now, I didn't complete that Spirit of adoption, and I got to go back to it because that is what the Holy Spirit is doing now in the body of Christ. It's making us more aware of the Spirit of adoption. The Spirit of adoption is sonship, bringing us into sonship. Now, we don't hear a lot of teaching about sonship as a believer, but we're going to hear a lot of teaching. We're getting ready to enter into hearing a lot of teaching and preaching on sonship, because that is what the Holy Spirit is getting ready to do for each of us. Make us more aware of sonship. See, we know that we're sons and daughters. We know we're sons of God. But we have not become more aware. We need to become more aware of our identity and identify with us. Because the Spirit of adoption lives in you. It is helping you. And what's helping you on the outside is the fivefold ministry. The fivefold ministry is bringing you to maturity. Then you got the Spirit of adoption on the inside of you, bringing you to maturity. That's what the Spirit of adoption is. Yeah. We found out last week, we talked on the Spirit of adoption last week. And we said a lot of things about the Spirit of adoption last week. We found out that the spirit of adoption is not like our culture of adoption, where you would probably adopt, if you were adopting a child in our culture, you would bring them into your home, you would give them your last name, you would bring them into a different environment, and that child become just like your child. Now, the only thing you cannot give a child when you adopt them is your bloodline. You can't give them that. You can give them all these other nice things. But Jesus, with the spirit of adoption, is very different. It's really not even like that. We don't really have to be adopted like that because we're born into the family of God.
Amen.
We got his DNA. We're already children. We're already his child. You ain't trying to be his child. He's not bringing you in so you could be his child. You're already that. So that's not the spirit of adoption like you would see it in our culture, in our world. The spirit of adoption here, he's in you to bring you to maturity so you can take over the Father's business. And you can be declared like Jesus was declared at the baptism. He said, "This is my beloved son." He was declaring sonship on him. That's what he was doing at the baptism. He was doing other things when God spoke out of heaven and said, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." That meant that he was ready to take over the Father, and didn't he take it over? He did. He completed everything. He was a mature son. He was ready for it. And that spirit of adoption in you, it's maturing you, getting you ready. Because what he has called us to do, we can't do it unless we are mature. He said, "The things that you see me do, you're going to do them also." And people back up on that. I heard one minister say, "I don't want to do nothing great." Well, I begged the partner, because I want to do great things for God, because he said we would. Amen. He said, "Greater things you'll do." And so that spirit of adoption is very important, that we take time and we learn about that spirit of adoption. Now, we went to scriptures, in which I'm not going to be able to do today. We did it last week. We went into different scripture. But this one scripture I didn't get a chance to go into. And I want to take you there. I want to take you to the 15th chapter of St. Luke. And we're going to talk about the prodigal son. We're going to see sonship there like we've never seen it before. It's a beautiful portrait of sonship.
Yeah.
I know the prodigal son, we can have all kinds of teaching from it. We can gather, but I want you to gather the sonship. It's a beautiful picture of sonship. And we all sitting here, the enemy may tell you you're not capable of taking over the Father's business. You're not capable of doing some other business that the Father has told us to do, to be about his business. Jesus was always aware of the Father's business. He said, "I must be about my Father's business." He was aware of the Father, the business. And two or three times you can see the Father confirming that, hey, he's well able. He's well able to take over and do what I called him to do. Body of Christ, you're well able to take over and do what God has called you to do. You got the spirit of sonship in you. The spirit of adoption is in you. You got the fivefold ministry that's maturing you. You got the Holy Spirit in you that's maturing you. So grow up.
Amen.
And take over the Father business. Quit saying, "I want somebody else to do. I want the, you know." You do it. You're well able. You his beloved son. Sonship is in these last days, sonship is so important. That's the reason I'm revisiting it and reteaching. Add on. Let's go to Luke, the 15th chapter. We're going to read about the prodigal son. But we're going to kind of look at it different. Let's go to the 11th verse. The 15th chapter and the 11th verse. And he said a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of good that falleth to me. And he divided unto them, not just the younger, but unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. God fixed it that way, that no man would give to him. And when he had came to himself, he came to himself after he couldn't, no man gave to him, and he was there down with the swine. That was something the Jews didn't do. They just didn't do swine. But here he is in the pig pen. And we see that he came from a family that was well off. And now he's living in the pig pen. I don't want to put all my emphasis on this, because I got one emphasis that I'm aiming, and that's sonship. And when he came to himself, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare? They throwing away bread. The servants are doing that. And I perish with hunger. I will arise. And you know, Isaiah saw a people saying in the 60th chapter of Isaiah, saying he saw a people that was arise, getting out the position that they're in. And church, you're getting out the position that you're in because you're going into maturity. Just grow up. Some of them going to be accelerated. You're just going to seem like you just grew up overnight. Okay? And he said, I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven. That's the most important thing. I sinned against heaven and before thee. Not only naturally have I sinned, I have spiritually sinned. And no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. Now he wants to be made. He didn't want to be made when he was young at home, and he wanted a different kind of life. But now he said, now I want to be made. And we all know we have to be made. We have to grow up. It said Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. And stop telling yourself, and stop allowing the enemy tell you that you can't conquer the things that you are going through. You know, the enemy just want to tell you that that's just the way you are. The enemy is a liar. The spirit of adoption, the spirit of maturity is in you.
Yeah.
It's in you. It's living in you. And if that's not enough, you got teachers like me.
Mm-hmm.
That will speak the truth.
Amen.
And you can grow into maturity.
Amen.
Quit. I've never seen so many saints just saying, you know, I can't help this. This is who I am. This is the way I am. You know, turn it over to the spirit of adoption in you, and turn it and come and get taught. You can get that foolishness out of you. I don't care what it is.
Right. That's
right.
Some people say, I've been this way all my life. I don't know what it is. I tell you what it is. It's foolishness in you. Get it out. You can mature. God is calling a people to arise and come to maturity. We got to come to maturity to do the work we've been called to do in this end time. We talk about the end time, but the end time tell me that's going to be a glorious church.
Amen.
Huh? That means that it's a mature church. Okay? So we see him arising. He's saying what he's going to say way before he get to the Father. We see the change. We see the maturity in him. When he left home, when he first left home, he didn't have this maturity. But we see a mature son here. Okay? And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, see, the father was praying and looking for him. Jesus, all he talked about in his 15th chapter about things that was lost. And he went after things that was lost. And this father was looking for this son. He seen him afar off. And it said a great way off. Well, it's only so far you can see with your natural eyes. I don't care if you have 20/20. You're still limited in it. So he saw this son in the spirit. He saw him coming home because he called him home. If you got anybody out there, just call them home. By faith. Don't look at what things look at. Don't look at, don't even, if you have to close your eyes and call them. By faith. He saw him and had compassion on. Look at this word, compassion. When Jesus had compassion on a person, it wasn't that he felt sorry for him. Oh, my poor son, look at him. Uh-uh. When Jesus had compassion on people, it meaning that he was going to do something about it, change something in them. And this is what this father's going to do. He's not just saying, oh, my poor son, don't he look bad? I mean, he's been gone so long and he looks so bad, Brother David. I mean, I just don't know what to do, you know. Uh-uh. He had compassion. He's been to change some things here. And ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I mean, if this son been in the pig pen, he didn't. I mean, you know, he wasn't, you know, the best of clothes. He didn't smell the best. He didn't look the best. But see, this father knew that this son had a heart change. Just returning home. And the son, the 21st verse, and said, the son said unto Father, I have sinned against heaven and in that sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called son. I'm not worthy to be called son. You know, the enemy make you think you're not worthy because you did this and you did that. You lost your temper. You kicked the cat or you... I mean, and he said, you're not worthy, but Jesus made you worthy. And he said, I'm not worthy to be called the son. But the father said to his servant, okay, this is the compassion working, okay? The father said to his servant, you know, the son wanted to be a servant. But the father said to the servants, that's with an S there. He put them all working because his son was home. Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. The best robe. And put it on him. And put a ring on his hand. And shoes on his feet. What was he doing? He was bringing him into sonship. A mature son. Now he was at home. He didn't have the ring and the robe and all that. Because he wasn't a mature son. He's telling him, now you're ready for the father's business. You are a mature son now because he's able to run the father business. Now bring the ring, bring the robe. I mean, he's changing his clothes. See, his heart was changed. His heart got changed before he reached father. So I believe his heavenly father was dealing with him, bringing him to his mind, letting him see. Okay, for this is my son that was dead and alive, and he was lost and found, and they began to make merry. Okay, remember he had two sons now. Okay, they began to celebrate this son. Now his other son was in the field, and as he came and drew, see, his other son was working. He hadn't left. He was in the field. And he came and drew nigh to the house. He heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, their brother has come home, and the father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him saved and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him, his father pleading with him, come on in and help us celebrate. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress. He didn't even, do you hear him describing himself to his father? And I had and at any time their commandment, he never went against any of the commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I may make merry with my friend. But as soon as this son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fattest calf. And he said unto him, son, what did he call him? Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. You know what he was trying to tell the son? You should be mature enough if you want a goat, if you want whatever you want. You're in the father's house. You've been here. You didn't go out and do all that. See, sometimes you could be in the church. In the church. But yet don't, it's not aware of sonship like you should. That's what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit is going to bring us into that sonship, that we can understand it. He said, you here. You're mature enough to go and get you. You done worked here. You done did everything right.
This
huh? He did. He got it from the beginning with the younger son. He said he divided them between both. So you got your inheritance now. You don't have to wait until the father die. He died. Jesus died on the cross. You got your inheritance. But over in Galatians said, if you stay a child, you cannot enjoy your inheritance. Because a child different nothing from a servant. They both are just alike until you mature. When you mature, you can come into all of your inheritance. And you ain't got to wait the father die. Because Jesus had already died and came back to make sure that he even sent the Holy Spirit to make sure to be the administrator of your inheritance. To make sure you get it right. To make sure you get all of what he has for you. Not some of it, but all. And the Holy Spirit is growing you up on the inside, and it ain't me telling you, no, you're not ready. But the Holy Spirit is saying, yeah, you're ready. You are mature enough to get what's... But no, I can't be mature enough. Did you understood what I said last night? Do you understood the way I behave? But Holy Spirit saying, yeah, and you are mature enough. If you would allow the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of adoption, he lives in you. If you would take that thing to the Spirit of adoption and say, hey, Spirit of adoption, mature me in this area. See, the elder son was doing everything right. He just had one thing he wasn't matured in. And that was sonship, loving. He didn't love the brother like he was looking at himself. See, in sonship, you're going to get out of self and you're going to be the presence of God. It ain't going to be all about self. The oldest son, it was all about self. Me. You ain't done this for me, me, me. But in true sonship, you're looking out to make other sons. So the Holy Spirit is the adoption. Adoption, it's not like... adoption means bringing you to maturity so that you can. And he's going to declare. And he's already declared, because you got everything in you to make you mature. But if you keep letting the enemy tell you you're not and you can't get there and, you know, keep blocking you from your inheritance, it's time to receive your inheritance. I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to receive my inheritance, all of it. I want every bit of it.
Amen.
So I said, spirit of adoption, work in me. Sometimes we just need to say, spirit of adoption, work in me, instead of agreeing with the enemy, saying that you can't, you this, and you that. You see, this is also dealing with the identity. The church has got to find her identity as sons. Both sons had a bad identity of sonship, and the father. They had a bad identity of the father and their sonship. They didn't know who they was. We see the other son, he really didn't know who he was. And then the youngest son that did come back, he wanted to be a servant. The father didn't even entertain that. He talked to the servants. He said, servants, you go bring me this and do this and do that. And when the son got the robe and the ring, he knew, hey, I'm back in sonship. The ring and the robe and the shoes, he was dressed for son. You are dressed for sonship. Don't let the enemy take your inheritance. You get to heaven, you say, well, I could have had... Boy, I could have controlled that temper, you know? I didn't have to say everything I wanted to say. I didn't have to do everything I wanted. I could have controlled that temper. I had it on the inside of me. But the enemy telling you, no, you can, and you won't make it, and, you know, you're not really a true son of God. I know he said y'all gonna do all that, but that's for somebody else. That's not for you. The devil is a lie. It's for you. The spirit of adoption live where? Hey, I don't think it is. I mean, y'all too cool with that. No, y'all got to say that a little bit bold. The spirit of adoption live where?
In me.
And the spirit, I like that.
Like
glory. The spirit of adoption lives in me. To make me a son, a mature. It said the whole earth is groaning and waiting for mature sons. That's what they're waiting on. To see the mature son, the one that looked like Christ. When in the book of Acts, when they saw the mature son, they said they turned the world upside down. And they said they looked just like Jesus. And they were, and those mature sons, they were saying, look on us. Look at us, because we're going to get the healing. We're going to do the healing. We're going to do the name of Jesus. We're mature enough to get somebody healed now. But it's a work of the Holy Spirit in us. Let us be aware. I'm doing this teaching to make you more aware. You know that you are sons of God. You know, but this teaching is coming to make you more aware. And you can exercise that. Instead of coming in agreement with the enemy. The churches came in agreement with the enemy that you are defeated, that you can't, you know, you got this little problem. You don't have no little problem. You are adopted son. The adoption is in you. You got teaching to help you, bring you to where you need to come. You got the spirit of adoption maturing you in that. You know, most of the time when you open your mouth and lose it on somebody, or you tell me, I just want to, you know, I'm like, I've never seen the body of Christ just losing it. You know, they're saying, I want it just to give them a piece of my mind, or you don't know what,
self-control.
You know, huh?
Self-control.
Spirit control.
Yeah, self-control.
Yeah. We're trying to get
spirit. Yeah, for the spirit.
We're trying to get the spirit in us active. Because he be pulling on you. No, I don't. That's too much mouth in there. That's too much. And you're saying, I'm just going to tell him what I want to tell him. I want to get it off my chest. And then the enemy comes and says, see, I told you, you're not ready. You blew it. And you all done look back at him and say, yeah, I did it this time. And it ain't going to be happening no more because the spirit of adoption is in me. He's mature in me. I have sonship. All these are legal terms, and people is real. You have it operating in you, and I'm way out